There are a lot of things that go into making a vibrant and healthy community. Arts and culture, safety, learning, housing, sports and recreation, the list goes on. But some would say there's one key issue that shapes the local landscape more than any other. Could it be that a strong local economy is truly the backbone of a successful community? There are so many different and interesting threads that form the complex fabric of our local economy, including one that's been getting a lot of attention lately, high tech. To find out more about the growing tech scene in the region, and in particular how women are playing a role, Rob Janis paid a visit to Function Fox.
My name is Robin Quinn. I'm the chair of Island Women in Science and Technology. I'm also the co-founder of a technology startup called Big Bang Analytics.
Fantastic. Thank you for meeting us with us today. Tell us a little bit about your role and your relationship to the local economy here in Victoria.
Well, it's an exciting time. It's sort of one of those literary quotes of the best of times and the worst of times, because for technology, things are happening fast as usual. There's now some kind of, you know, holdbacks, and people are kind of stopping to consider the impact on society of technology. Mm-hmm. But it's still, technology is always about people. And I think that's what drives it in the economy, is that it isn't just about machines. It is about people striving to find better ways to do things. So my role as chair of Island Women in Science and Technology is to help create a community of peers, women who are in technology, science, mathematics, and they come together and support each other. So it creates an opportunity for role models. It creates an opportunity for peer mentoring, because we are women in business. 90% of the membership are women who are working in STEM-based industries, so science, tech, engineering, math.
Right.
And our role is to, as an organization, IWIST helps them to connect with each other, and to me that creates a really healthy economic anchor for building even more business.
Fantastic. We are talking about the economy here today, and I guess these days part of your role is to assuage all our concerns that the robots are not taking over imminently. Although I, for one, welcome our robot overlords.
It's that artificial intelligence. I know many who already have artificial intelligence. Won't go anywhere near that. But it's, it is an exciting time. And in fact, there's actually the first in Canada is coming to Victoria. And it's a robotics competition.
Really?
And it's inviting teams from across Canada, the U.S., Mexico. That's happening in March at the Save on Memorial. And I'm very excited about it because I think robotics is an area where there's underrepresentation of women. And this gives them a chance to see it in action and be inspired by it.
So we're meeting today at Function Fox here in Victoria. Mm-hmm. And can you tell our listeners what Function Fox is and maybe a little bit about their history?
Well, I know Function Fox from my own experience in an advertising agency back in the day. They were actually pioneers in technology for the advertising and marketing industries, which rely heavily, probably even more than the legal profession, on managing time and increments, because that's how they handle their billing.
Right.
And so as part of their business with... their originating company, they came up with this idea of, why don't we harness technology to do this better? And so they developed the software for time and project management called Function Fox. And I knew of that, but in my role as Island Women in Science and Technology, I came to appreciate them even more because they've been in business longer than most technology-based companies. As we discussed earlier, before the smartphones, before the skinny iMacs, it was Function Fox.
18 years ago.
18 years.
Yeah.
And they are not only still operating, but they're a very healthy, robust technology company. And like a lot of smaller technology companies here, based here in Victoria, they're below the radar.
Yeah.
But I think we're all aware that technology is now one of the biggest drivers of the economy in Greater Victoria. And it'll become, I think, even more relevant and drive even more jobs here.
That's fantastic. I totally agree. And we're seeing that in Victoria's Vital Signs, the stats that are showing up in terms of the growth in that sector. With regards to women in technology, what would you say are some of the issues facing that sort of group and that demographic today?
Well, I'll tell you, we do regular check-ins. We have panels of women talking about their own experiences, and that's one of the, I'd say, the hallmark of iWIST is that these are candid conversations. We're actually authentic, and when you come to an event, you're allowed to be you. And so what we get from a lot of the women in tech, especially those who have been in it for a while, is that they often feel like the other.
Okay.
They often feel like they are not, you know, it's like the old Sesame Street song, one of these things is not like the others, and they feel it. And so there's lots of strategies to deal with that. In the past, one of them was to try and be a guy.
Right.
Which isn't good for your mental health. Mm-hmm. Another is to just be passive aggressive and try and, you know, work your way out of it, or to leave the company. Mm-hmm. Or to leave the career. And we found that in a statistical research, they were looking at it, and the number of women who left their technology or technical-based careers when they were just frustrated and gave up was not a very good statistic. It was
right.
A lot of women leaving the sector. And going back to iWIST, that's one of the reasons why we created that community, mm-hmm. is that if women feel supported and connected, if they can actually talk to someone, confide in someone, and get some advice, they'll stay in that position rather than leave.
Right.
So the challenges, I think, have always been a gender bias in this
okay.
industry. And ironically, I don't know whether you've seen Hidden Figures, but women were actually the first computers. That's what they called them, right? They were computers. And mathematics was not a field where women felt like the other. It developed over time. And I think part of that was the whole popular, iconic look of a geek, a guy in his 20s with a hoodie on.
Right, yeah. And all of the, I guess, all of the iconic individuals in the industry when it broke
right.
in terms
we're
of personal computing and that sort of thing,
yeah.
which
and
formed probably a lot of those stereotypes.
Right. Well, you can't, and what I hear when I talk to very, very articulate and smart young women who are in development or in, robotics or laser technologies, they tell me it's hard to be it unless you see it.
Right. Of course.
So that's the other thing that we try to do is we're not so much mentoring women as we are creating opportunities for them to see what it looks like to be a woman in technology and successful.
Let's talk about that in terms of those the role modeling then. You mentioned some events that take place here in Victoria mm-hmm. and probably elsewhere. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, with iWIST, and we often co-host events. So, for instance, on March 13th, we're co-hosting an event with the UVic Women in Science, as well as Engineers and Geoscientists BC, to have a female-friendly, make sure your digital profile is up to date and tells your story. So LinkedIn and things like that, we're going to do that together. We also have something called the STEM Crawl, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a pub crawl style, but we go to companies here, just like Function Fox,
yeah.
that you would never know. And that's the epiphany of it, is that we go, we have a little bus, we go visit all these excellent companies.
Very cool.
And Latitude Geographics, Metal Lab, Red Brick, Purpose 5, Kano Apps, Alacrity. These are all companies that are driving our economy,
mm-hmm.
and we want to introduce the rest of the world. And it is very, very positive for the women to mm-hmm. see that there's opportunities in this sector.
So are there other women like yourself that are taking a kind of a more public role in terms of modeling that behavior? Or is it still kind of, you know, within the industry, kind of fairly quietly happening?
I think it's quiet.
Yeah.
But you have women who, you know, they're busy doing business. Like another company that I admire greatly, and I admire the CEO, is Bobby Leach, who mm-hmm. is the CEO of two companies. One is Revenue Wire and one is Future Pay. these companies are global companies, and they're in fintech, which is like the sector that's exploding. It's being disrupted like crazy.
No kidding.
And
blockchain is coming.
Yeah. But this is a person who is very, very busy. But when I ask her to serve on a panel of women talking about their experiences and what it means to be a woman leading in technology, absolutely always says, yes, count me in. I'll make sure my schedule allows it. So that kind of quiet leadership.
Very cool.
And we do have, you know, plenty of women who are in roles at the companies who will call me and say, hey, what can we do to help? Can we host something? Would you like to have our CEO come and talk? And we're not talking just about women here. We know that you can't change a culture without champions.
Absolutely.
And that requires guys. And as our Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says, he's a feminist.
Right.
We're looking for feminists, people who understand how important it is for their company to grow, to be inclusive and welcoming for everyone.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, we have a labor shortage here in Victoria.
Exactly.
In not just the technology sector, but in all sectors pretty much. And it just doesn't make economic sense to cut out half of the populace of potential candidates.
And to give you an example of how that works, MetaLab, which developed Slack for Stuart Butterfield, which is like, once again, it's a hidden treasure company.
Yeah.
They had an unexpected consequence of posting their tech team on their website by demonstrating without, like, they weren't doing it for any purpose other than to say, this is our team. But their team had a lot of women in senior roles on the technical side.
Right.
So what happened was that they shared with me that they were getting very, very impressive resumes from women around the world. And so they said, why are you applying for a job here in Victoria, British Columbia? And they said, because it looks like you don't have a ceiling for women.
Wow.
And I think that that's the fabulous thing
that's
about
powerful.
A company
yeah.
that says we are what you want to be.
Absolutely. Got to model that, right? So in the Vital Signs survey, we've read that there's room for improvement in regards to a few things when it comes to the economy, things like increasing opportunities for new graduates and improving supports for entrepreneurs and small business. How do you think women in technology and your group is addressing any of these? Anything going on there?
Well, we're not a source of funding, so it's hard for us to help the struggling startups. And I have to say that women-founded startups have a much harder time getting funding than males.
Okay.
It's just the name of the game because most venture capitalists and most funding comes from men who... It's an unconscious bias. They react positively to someone who looks and sounds like they did when they were starting their own companies.
Sure.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's not that they're being, you know, overly mean. But what we do for women entrepreneurs, especially in the sector, is once again, we give them a community. So you can phone someone and say, hey, is that program available? How can I get this thing? Or can you introduce me to those people?
Right.
So instead of mentors, we're basically becoming champions of each other. Introductions are a powerful thing. Women have never been really good at that collegial style of, you know, leveraging your relationships.
Right.
That's
no,
a very
absolutely.
Diplomatic way of saying.
That's very good. Very good. Now, do you have any sort of relationship with the local educational institutions, post-secondary institutions or high schools or anything
like that? We do in that Camosun, UVic, Royal Roads are all very supportive of Island Women in Science and Technology. They know that their graduates are going to be looking for the next big move. Having an understanding of what's happening in the sector or being able to, you know, encourage them to contact one of our members. So the co-op people, as well as the people who are in the executive education side of things, they're all very supportive. So locally, that's great. And we also have very strong relationships with, as I said, UVic Women in Science.
Yes.
We have a relationship with the Engineers and Geoscientists of BC. And we have a relationship with Viatech. So it should be collegial because we have overlap. All of those organizations have overlap, so right. we try and work together and support each other.
Well, it sounds like you're really making an effort to connect all the dots and make sure everything's covered off.
Thank you, I am.
That's fantastic. Robin Quinn from Women in Science and Technology, thank you so much for talking with us today. If people want to learn more about the organization or what is happening in the industry, where can they go for more info?
Well, it's good that you asked me that. So we have a website. It's iwist.ca. We also have a LinkedIn profile, and we have a Facebook page, Island Women in Science and Technology. And Twitter at IWIST_org. So usually we have lots of events. As I said, the STEM crawl's coming up, and we have the mixer with UVic Women in Science at UVic. But that's the best way to find out. And we welcome new members.
Great. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this month's Vital Victoria podcast. Join us next month when we delve into another of the 12 key issues to a healthy and vibrant community. To learn more about the Victoria Foundation, visit victoriafoundation.ca. While there, you can sign up for our newsletter or read copies of our latest publications, including the latest issue of Victoria's Vital Signs, the inspiration for this podcast. Vital Victoria is a monthly podcast produced by the Victoria Foundation, connecting people who care with causes that matter. Find the Victoria Foundation on Facebook, on Twitter at Vic Foundation, and on Instagram at Victoria Foundation. Until next time, thank you for listening.